mic on. Forgot to get it earlier. This morning, I want to talk about a topic that is, to me, something that I need reminding of from time to time. And I think that Christians in general need reminding of from time to time. And that's the idea that's found in the Bible of the light of the world. You know, there's only two instances, two times in the Bible where the Bible uses this statement to describe individuals. And those two people are, I guess it's kind of hard to say it this way, but one of the people that it describes is Jesus, of course, as the light of the world. But there's also a group of people that are described as being the light of the world. And I think more accurately to explain that would be to say that we are to reflect the light of the world. In that manner, we are the light of the world. But the idea is still the same. You know, we are both to be called that. We are both to be showing that. And Jesus has done His part. Jesus was perfect. Jesus set us the perfect example. You know, He came and He did what God asked of Him to do. And He carried that out perfectly. You know, turn with me to John chapter 3. We read this in class this morning. But it describes what Jesus came to do on this earth. And it also sets out this idea that we want to present this morning. John chapter 3 and in verse 16 beginning says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." And that leads us to our scripture reading passage that I had Brother Justin to read for us. You know, Jesus says that he who comes to Him will have the light of life in him. You know, John chapter 8, we'll turn there right quick just to read the whole passage again to remind us of what it says. It says in John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, if I can quit turning two pages at once. It says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Jesus is that light of light. If you read the first chapter of John, He is described as being the light of life. We are to have Jesus inside us. And what does that mean? You know, I want to talk about those things. You know, what does it mean when Jesus said that He is the light of the world? You think about what light does. When you are in a dark place and you light a candle, or you turn on a light, or you turn on your flashlight, whatever the case may be, what does it do? It drives the darkness away. It casts out the darkness. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 beginning, it says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." Jesus drives out darkness. We're not talking about physical darkness so much. We're talking about spiritual darkness. Jesus is that spiritual light that if we will let Him into our hearts, just as He already has done and provided the entire world with a way to be removed from to have their sins removed, He will remove the sins from you if you will accept Him in and His will and His blessings to us. Also, turn with me to John chapter 1 and verse 5. John chapter 1 and verse 5. I may have the wrong passage down there. Let me get there. I believe that's supposed to be 1 John. Yeah. Well, we'll go ahead and read this one. It says in beginning in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." You know, darkness and light are not compatible. They do not go together. They cannot be in the same place. That's something that we must remember. Just as Jesus set this forth, it says in 1 John, I believe it is, and we'll get to that later, that there is no darkness in God. There can be no darkness in God. There can be no darkness in Jesus, and that is important to remember. Let's look at something else that, like the light that Jesus does. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just as light reveals things, when you shine a light on a dark place, it shows you what's there. Jesus reveals the truth. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 6, it says, For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, I should have put on in there in verse 2. It says, in chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." You know, we are to use God's blessings in order to reveal the truth. And that is what it does. When Jesus comes into your life, He reveals the truth. He gives you the truth. He gives you the knowledge of God. All right, and also another thing that Jesus and light have in common, they both serve and can serve as beacons, as a guide. You think about what David says about the Word of God, about Jesus. Psalms chapter 109, Psalms 109 and verse 5. Psalms 109 and verse 5, it says, I think that may be the wrong passage. Let's see here. I believe it's 119 and verse 5. It says, no, that ain't it either. But I think we know it. I cannot quite quote it, but it says, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And I cannot remember where it's at. I wrote down the wrong passage. Is it 119? Uh, 105, okay. That's where I got messed up. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Yeah, There is a purpose, you know, to our lives, and we cannot see it unless we have Jesus in our lives, unless He is there to guide us, just like a light. If we're in a dark place, we cannot see where we should go if we do not have a light to guide us. And Jesus and His Word does that. So the next thing I want to talk about is, what does it mean when the Bible says that we should be the light of the world? It means that we should be like Jesus. We should live like He did. We should exemplify His life in ours. We have the same purpose that Jesus had. Just as Jesus came down to save men, to lead us to salvation, so should we with our lives. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and in verse 47. Acts chapter 13 and verse 47 says, "For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." You know, Paul was sent out to be a light to the Gentiles. All of us were sent out. You read the Great Commission. We were told to go out, and those men that were told to go out were told to keep teaching. And it's supposed to go on and on and on. And we're supposed to continually be that beacon for truth, that light. We should follow in Jesus' footsteps. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. We should try to be like Him in every way possible. 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins." That's really, I should have picked up in verse 5. It says, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." The idea there is that just as Jesus and God is light, so should we be in all aspects of our life. We cannot practice darkness. We cannot walk in darkness and be called the children of God. It's not easy to do this. So turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 21 it says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving for us an example that you should follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return, but when He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on that tree, on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." We are to follow the example laid down by Jesus. He suffered for what He did for us. He sacrificed in order to save us from our sins. The same is going to be happening to us. We must sacrifice, we must suffer in order to be what we should be, in order to be like Christ, in order to exemplify that light. Because as we also read in class earlier, we read earlier just now, in John chapter 3, darkness is where we started out, and we hate it. We hate the light. The people of darkness reject the light. It's, if you will, turn with me to John chapter 8 and verse 12. I believe that was our scripture reading, wasn't it? John chapter 8 and verse 12, it states that we should be like Jesus and that we should have that light of light in us. It says there should be no darkness in us. It says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of light." So how can we do this? How can we have that light? Like we said before, be like Jesus, but there's also some ways that we can make practical application. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 8. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, Now, I'm going to skip verse 9 just to get the effect. It says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. You know, that sentence tells us how we can become the light. We come out of darkness and we seek out what is acceptable to the Lord. And those things, I believe, are found in verse 9. Some of those things. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's what we're supposed to be finding out. It says, if you'll continue on there, it says, therefore he says, awake. Verse 13, it says, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. We are to be doing things that please God. We're not to be doing things that we're not proud of. If we're having to hide, if we're having to be worried about who's going to see what we do, does that sound like light? Does that sound like things that are making manifest? No. That sounds like the darkness. That sounds like something that is trying to keep from being exposed. Something that is ashamed of being exposed. You also turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 in verse 33. You know, Luke makes a statement about darkness in the heart of a man that I want to read. Luke chapter 11 and verse 33, it says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. Now, this is what a person who is trying to live as light does. He doesn't hide what he's doing. He doesn't put it in a secret place. No, he puts it out there for all men to see. And he goes on, he says, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. You know, you can be deceived. You can think that you're doing what is right, but you can be full of darkness. And Luke says to take heed, to be careful, because darkness can creep in. And we must make sure that what we are doing, what we are looking at, what we are how we are conducting our lives is in a manner that would fill us full of light and not darkness. Turn with me to Ephesians 4. We'll see that same principle stated again. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17 beginning. Really, the whole chapter of Ephesians chapter 4 is good to read for a Christian. But chapter 4 verse 17, it says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, and the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. How do you do that? Therefore put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And it goes on. The list continues on about how we should walk, how we should be light, as we've read in chapter 5 previously. And it just he continues to describe that throughout the rest of the book of Ephesians, things that you can do to make your soul what it should be, to put on that new man. We've got to make sure that that darkness, when we put it out, when we accept Jesus into our lives, that it stays out. And these things that we've just read are how you do that. You put away certain things from you. You put away lying. You put away anger. You put away the evil of being deceitful and stealing. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Don't say words that are not fit to be said, whether they're cuss words, whether they're things that should not be said about another person. It doesn't matter. It says, let your speech, it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. If what you're saying does not benefit someone else, don't say it. If it does not build someone else up, if it is not like a light and reveal the truth, don't say it. Don't speak it. We should be able to guide those in the world to us, just like Jesus was. If we are doing things that indicate that we have darkness in our hearts, in our souls, then we are not shining as the beacons that we should be. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 12 beginning. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless, harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. You know, we affect those people around us. We shine as lights. We shine as guides to those in this crooked and perverse generation. If we are not doing what we ought to be doing, if we are not working out our salvation in fear and trembling, then we can't guide the people that we've been sent to guide. We can't help our brothers and sisters rejoice in that day of judgment. No, instead there will be sorrow. So we've got to remember to exemplify Jesus in our lives, to build up those characteristics that we see in these passages so that we can be like Him and we can guide those people out of the darkness and into the light. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 5 and verse, we'll pick up in verse 13. It says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That is our purpose as Christians on this earth, is to be that light, that city set on a hill, that lampstand, that we guide people out of the darkness, that we can show them where the truth is and glorify God. Just as Jesus is the light of the world, so should we be. We should pick up where He left off when He went to heaven, take up His mantle, if you will, His cross, and bear it. We must be striving and doing everything that we can possible to save souls and to guide them to the truth. You think about a lighthouse that's on the coast. It's supposed to guide ships in around the rocks, around the reefs, safely. You know, as a Christian, we are a lighthouse of sorts, as is stated here. We're a city set on a hill meant to shine out to the world around us. If our light goes out, if our light is not visible, then are we doing our jobs? If the lighthouse went out, what would happen? We'd have shipwrecks. You'd have many lives lost. The same can be said of a Christian when he is not living as he should be. When he allows his light to go out, when he no longer keeps his light burning as he should. We must love the light. We cannot be like the darkness that we read about in John chapter 3. We can't hide from it. We can't avoid the light. We can't be ashamed to have our deeds exposed by the light. It says in verse 21 of John chapter 3, "But he who does truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Does that describe you? You know, can you look at yourself and say, "Is that me? Do I go to God? Do I seek out the truth? Do I seek out the light? Or am I afraid of it? Am I afraid of what it has to say about me?" So my brothers and sisters, I exhort you this morning to strive, to try your best to be the light of the world. Now, I'm not perfect by any means. I do things, unfortunately, on a regular basis that do not shine God's light, that detract from God's light, that want to cover it up, that want to hide it. Those things ought not to be. And we must, every time that we see our light start to fade out, we must relight it. We must come back and do our jobs. Because just like there's a song that I just thought about, you know, we are the world's Bible. If we're not shining our lights as we should, then God has no messenger on this earth. If all the Christians were to let their lights go out and to take the easy way out, then how would God save anyone? You know, we are to be helping God. We are His messengers. We've got to remember that. If there's anyone here who would like to repent of a sin, if there's anyone here who would like to make their life right back with God, if there is something that has put out your light, please get rid of it. Please come forward. If there's anyone here who would like to become a new child of God, if either is the case, will you stand ready to assist you? If you will, come to the front while we stand and sing.